I'm Arun Vanagopal in for Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Tomorrow marks 2 years since a gunman shot and killed 17 people at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida.
In a little over 6 minutes, 17 of our friends were taken from us, 15 were injured, and everyone, absolutely everyone, in the Douglas community was forever altered. Everyone who was there understands. Everyone who has been touched by the cold grip of gun violence understands.
The Parkland shooting led to a wave of activism by young people around the country, demanding that lawmakers enact substantive gun control legislation.
We're going to take this to every election, to every state, and every city. We're going to make sure the best people get in our elections to run, not as politicians, but as Americans. Because this is not cutting it.
And while the sweeping overhauls that activists push for are still far from a reality, there has been one significant development from the federal government. In December, Congress approved $25 million for gun violence research to be split equally between the CDC and the National Institutes of Health. It was the first time in over 20 years that federal funding had been approved for this type of research. That's because back in 1996, the Dickey Amendment was passed, prohibiting the CDC from using federal funds for research that, quote, advocated for gun control. Out of fear of losing more funding, the CDC essentially stopped doing research into gun violence. The National Institute of Health soon followed. Despite limited research, the CDC estimates that 40,000 people each year are killed from firearm-related deaths. According to a recent study from the University of Michigan School of Medicine, firearm injuries were the second leading cause of death for U.S. children and adolescents from 2008 to 2017. And yet again, barely any research into gun violence has been conducted since the Dickey Amendment was passed. Now Congress is finally giving the CDC and the NIH funding to make necessary research possible again. And that's where we start today on The Takeaway. Joining us now to talk about the future of gun violence research is Dr. Megan Ranney, an emergency physician at Brown University and chief research officer for Affirm Research, and Mark Rosenberg, who was the first director of the National Center for Injury Prevention and Control at the CDC. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you for having
us on. It's a pleasure.
Mark, can you tell me about the gun violence research you conducted at the CDC before the Dickey Amendment was passed in 1996?
Sure. And let me tell you why we thought research was important. And it's that we are basically in a standoff where people think that either you can prevent gun violence or you can protect gun rights. This was a strategy proposed by the NRA. They said these two are at odds, but there are actually ways that you can both reduce gun violence and protect gun rights. How do you find them? You look for those ways. You look through research because you need research to see what ideas will work. And the research basically answers four simple questions. The first question is, what's the problem? Who gets killed? Who gets shot? Where? Why? How? When? Does it happen? Under what circumstances? And are these increasing or decreasing? But that's what's the problem. The second question is, what are the causes? What's the role of mental illness? What's the role of drugs or alcohol? The third question is, what works to prevent it? And you need to find things that work both to prevent gun violence and to protect gun rights. But through research, you can find what works and what achieves both of those goals. And the fourth question is, how do you do it? How do you take the things you find through research and translate them into policy?
Yeah, and one of your studies, a landmark study really, showed having a gun in the home was more dangerous than not having one. Can you talk to me about how that study helped stop funding for the CDC?
The NRA had been saying, and still says, that if you care about your family and you want to keep your family safe, you'll have a gun in your home. So we looked at the question, does having a gun in your home really make you safer? And what we found showed that not only does having a gun in your home not make you safer, but it increases the risk tremendously that someone in your home will be murdered with a gun, or that someone in your home will commit suicide with a gun. The NRA didn't like these findings because they thought it would be bad for business. So the NRA set about a campaign to stop the research. And they got Jay Dickey, a congressman from rural Arkansas, to head up their attack against us. And they tried to put CDC's Injury Center out of business and to stop the research that we were doing.
And Dr. Ranney, what has it been like for you as a researcher wanting to study gun violence in the aftermath of the Dickey Amendment?
So I started my career soon after the Dickey Amendment, and I was told by senior researchers in no uncertain terms to not pursue a career in firearm injury prevention, and that it was a pointless thing to study because there would never be funding for it. Many of us listened for a while, and largely because of the Dickey Amendment, many of the folks that had been doing research in the field stopped doing it. So there were only a few intrepid folks across the country who continued to do this work. As a result, it was really tough for me to find mentors. And just like in business, in research, you need people to help kind of show you the ropes and teach you how to be a better researcher. But over time, with persistence, I found some people, including folks at the University of Michigan, who you quoted, and at UC Davis. And for many of us, kind of the mid-2000s, and then leading into Sandy Hook, we started to say it's not okay to be silent, and we won't let the Dickey Amendment silence us, because in reality, it didn't ever ban research. It just created fear.
And Dr. Ranney, do you think the activism that followed the Parkland shooting helped renew the push for this kind of research?
I think it was the activism following the Parkland shooting. It really, though, started after Sandy Hook. It was after the tragedies in Aurora and Sandy Hook that we started to see many of us writing op-eds, both in medical journals and in popular press, talking about the importance of research and the importance of that public health approach that Dr. Rosenberg outlined, that four-step approach, and talking about the ways in which this can be done in conjunction with or even with leadership from the gun-owning community. In fact, that's why we founded Affirm Research, was to make sure that we have voices from all groups and all sides who are represented in the research.
And Mark, do you see that with all these tragedies, these mass shootings, that there are people who are in support of gun rights are becoming, more open to this kind of research?
I think key people, legislators, some Republicans, some people from red states, are starting to understand the value of research. And Jay Dickey himself, though we started out as arch enemies, people who hated each other for what we were doing. Jay Dickey came around to see that we needed to restart the research. And in fact, he came out and said, we need to get it started. And one of the points Jay Dickey wanted to make was that if Jay and I started out as mortal enemies, and we could come not only to agree on the importance of science and the importance of research, not only to agree, but actually to become friends and people who trusted about each other and cared about each other, if we could do it, then anyone could do it. And so I think this last year, when Congress approved an appropriations to restart the research, and I can't overemphasize how important that is, that's a huge step, a really important step to solving the problem. That was done with Republican and Democratic support in the House. And the Dickey Amendment, as Megan said, and she really is courageous, and I need to emphasize how brave she was to go into this field. But last year, when the House approved this, they did it with bilateral support. They started by saying in the past that they needed to get rid of the Dickey Amendment because it was seen as a threat and an obstacle. But what happened last year is Jay Dickey's former wife helped write in testimony that said, now the Dickey Amendment can actually be a bridge to getting the support of people all over the spectrum for research. Because what the Dickey Amendment does is it says you can't use this money that Congress appropriates for research. You can't use it to lobby for gun control. You can do the research, but you can't use it to lobby for gun control. So this gave cover to some Republicans on the Appropriations Subcommittee to vote for this. And this is something that will need to be expanded. The research will need to be done well. It will need to be scientifically objective. And it will need to find things that do both reduce gun violence, and protect gun rights.
Dr. Ranney, is it clear how the CDC and the NIH could use this new funding and the kind of benefits we might see from this research?
Yes, absolutely. The CDC has already moved quickly to release a funding announcement to train young scholars in the field and has another one projected to be released within a month to fund large grants on firearm injury prevention. And I imagine that NIH will soon follow suit. I think that a lot of what we're going to see early on is a focus on firearm suicide prevention. Two-thirds of gun deaths in this country are suicides. And a focus on identifying risk factors and how to mitigate them. This is going to be done in conjunction with the healthcare community, but also in conjunction with trusted messengers in communities across the country. You know, this field has had so little research done for the past 23 years that it's almost wide open. It would be like if we'd done no research on heart attacks since 1996. There's so much that we need to know. And I'll mention here that although the $25 million is amazing and is a great step in the right direction, what we really need is over $1 billion a year in order for firearm injury prevention to be funded the same way as other diseases that kill the same number of people each year. So we have a long ways to go and lots of questions to answer.
Dr. Ranney, is this changing the morale of people in your field?
It is. You know, already in the last year or two, we've seen a dramatic growth in the number of people who are dedicating time and resources really for free to researching this really important area. And I think we're going to see an explosion of folks, brilliant minds who are dedicated to taking this on and finding solutions that work for every community across America. I'm just thrilled and excited for what comes next.
Dr. Ranney, are you worried that this funding could be cut under this administration?
Absolutely. That is always a concern, particularly in this area of research. The president's proposed budget for the coming year that was released just a couple days ago does not include a line item for firearm injury prevention funding. I think it's on all of us to continue to be vocal about the importance of this work and about the need for it and about the fact that it really is a bipartisan effort. This is not about gun control versus gun rights. This is about creating prevention strategies that work for our communities, the same way that we have reduced the number of car crash deaths without taking automobiles off the road. We can effectively reduce gun deaths in this country while also very much respecting Americans' rights to own firearms.
Dr. Megan Ranney is an emergency physician at Brown University and chief research officer for Affirm Research. And Mark Rosenberg is the former director of the National Center for Injury Prevention and Control at the CDC. Thank you both so much.
Thanks,
Arun. Thank you, Arun.